Where are my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatana? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishna Das Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. It's May 11th, 2020 in Hillsboro, North Carolina. It's the disappearance day of Ramananda Roy. And we're going to be going quickly through Ramananda Sanvad, the discussion between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was advised by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that when he toured South India, he should meet Ramananda Roy. And he met him at the bank of the river. And as soon as they saw each other, immediately they felt ecstasy. Because Mahaprabhu is Krishna in Radha's mood and Ramananda Roy is Vishakha. So of course there was a natural love between them. But there were brahmanas there who were more ritualistic. And so Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy hid their ecstatic symptoms. And this is a recurring theme in Mahaprabhu's lila of his withdrawing the manifestation of his ecstatic symptoms from a public who's going to be critical, right? We don't, and this is one of the signs of sahajism, is people making some big demonstration of ecstatic symptoms, often which are just theatrical, to impress people. If you really have great love, then you want to keep it private, right? It's not considered civilized, even in regular society, to make big emotional demonstrations of love. So Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy when they met privately, please tell me something from the scripture about the ultimate goal of life. So Ramananda Roy's first, this is when they met later, Ramananda Roy's first proposal was that if we do the dharma of our social position, if we follow our duties according to Shastra, then we will attain our original Krishna consciousness. And then he gave a verse from the Vishnu Purana, which we have up here on the board. And the translation of this verse is, the Supreme Personality, Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of varna and ashrama. There is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must be situated in the institution of the four varnas and ashramas. So it's not that this verse is not true. It's a fact that Krishna is satisfied when we act according to our nature in this world for his pleasure. But Mahaprabhu said, this is external, bhaya. This isn't the ultimate. Again, it's not that it's untrue, but it's not the ultimate truth. It's an external truth. So we are certainly very interested in establishing Varnashram. Just yesterday, I gave a talk virtually in Ohio about what happens when people who are suited for one varna do the work of another varna, which Krishna says it becomes bhayavaha, your work becomes a vehicle of fear if you do someone else's work. So it's certainly something that's important, but that's not the ultimate. And most religious systems in the world today stop at this point. Be a good person in the world to please God. Right? We find here in America, it's primarily Christians who are the main religion in this country, and they're mostly talking about, you know, family values, be an honest citizen, be a good person. They're talking about, in their own understanding, varnashram dharma. But that's not enough. So then Ramananda Roy said, well, offer Krishna the result of your activities. Don't just do your duties, but do them for the benefit of Krishna. And then he recited this verse, Yat Kiroshi Yat Agnashi Yat Jahosi Dadasi Yat Yat Tapasesi Kunteya Tat Kurushra Madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, do all that for the benefit of the Lord. It's interesting that this picture is somebody who looks like someone working in the world, but actually underneath it all, they're a devotee.
I was wondering.
Yes, yes. So you see this, he has a job in the world, and everybody looks like, to everybody, he looks like he's just doing his duties, but his inner consciousness is of a devotee. You can see he's got his bead bag there under his suit jacket. There's, by the way, a very similar verse in the Bible in Corinthians, practically identical to this verse in the Bhagavad Gita. And Lord Chaitanya said, even that's external. Now, why is that external? Because it's based on a false identity. You know, you're still thinking, I'm a brahmana, I'm a kshatriya, I'm a renunciate, I'm a husband, I'm a wife, but I'm doing it for Krishna. So that's nice, but you haven't changed your identity, and therefore it's still external. Then Ramananda Roy goes in the other direction, and he says, all right, give up all your occupational duties. Stop doing them. Swadharma tyaga. Yes? He says, occupational duties are described in the religious scriptures. If one analyzes them, he can fully understand their qualities and faults and then give them up completely to render service under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he quotes, Sarva Dharma Prachaja, Mamekam Saranam Raja, Ham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshi Shyamamasucha. We had a gurukul here that the kids liked to sing the English, they would say. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. So a lot of us did this when we joined the Hare Krishna movement, especially back in the 70s and 80s, right? We dropped out of college. We left our family. We left our job. We just dropped everything and just moved into the ashram and did the 64 angas of bhakti and didn't do anything in the world. Of course, for most people, that was not a long-term tenable position. Most people were not able to maintain that, and again, they did their duties for Krishna. And Mahaprabhu says, this is also external. Well, this is the end of the Bhagavad Gita. You know, this is like, this is also external, Mahaprabhu says. Why? Because, again, it's based on a false identity. You know, I am a brahmana, I'm not a brahmana. It hasn't come to one's real identity. So then Ramananda Roy says, well, what about Gyan Misra Bhakti? Because with Gyan Misra Bhakti, you're starting to understand I'm a soul. It's not just I'm not a brahmana, but I am a soul, and I'm going to worship Krishna in this mood of being a soul. And he quotes Brahmabhuta Prasanad Manaso Chachina Kanchati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madhvaktim Babate Param. I think, well, now we're getting somewhere, right? And Mahaprabhu still says, this is external. This is external. And you think, how is this external? Now I've understood that I'm a soul. We think of how many times Srila Prabhupada talked about, just hearing this yesterday or the day before, that just understanding I'm a soul isn't enough. What does a soul do? Right? I've read a number of accounts of people who ostensibly attained Brahman realization, contemporary people, but they found it difficult to act on the spiritual platform. And they ended up, like the Bhagavatam says, Avasuddha Buddhiya, they ended up coming back to the material platform. Very interesting. One particularly famous lady, very, 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 very famous lady, who had a near-death experience and attained, apparently, Brahman realization, came back into her body. She became very famous because she died of total organ failure from cancer And she came back in her body, and within a few days, her body was completely healed. And, you know, she was in a hospital, so everything was very well documented. But she said, why did I come back? It was really fascinating. I ended up reading, not the whole book, but I read a lot of this book in a devotee's house in Bahrain. She said, I came back because when I was everyone and everyone was me, there was no relationships. And I wanted to enjoy relationships, and the only way I could enjoy relationships was to have an illusion that we were separate beings. It was really interesting. And that, therefore, this is still external. It doesn't really get to the essence of who we are. And then Ramananda Roy says, okay, bhakti without gyan. Gyan shunya bhakti. Pure bhakti. You guys like that picture? And here Ramananda Roy quotes Lord Brahma, who says, those who, even while remaining situated in their established social positions, throw away the process of speculative knowledge and with their body, mind, and words, offer all respects to descriptions of your personality and activities, dedicating their lives to these narrations, which are vibrated by you personally and by your pure devotees, certainly conquer your lordship, although you are otherwise unconquerable by anyone within the three worlds. That's from 10.14.3. And now, finally, Mahaprabhu says, that's okay. Pure bhakti, that's okay. We're finally off of the external platform. So, of course, this is the place where the International Society for Krishna Consciousness starts. At this point, where Mahaprabhu says, that's okay. Our practice is of pure bhakti. We may not be pure, at least I'm certainly not pure, but Srila Prabhupada says even if we are immature in our purity, our practice is that of pure bhakti. Just like, you know, we have some little bud of a fruit, a little beginning peach. You can't eat it yet, but it's still, you can say, oh, there's a peach. Right? My kids are growing tomatoes, and they put up an electric fence against the squirrels because my granddaughter was saying, well, there's little tiny green tomatoes, and the squirrels may still eat them. Right? And you can look and say, that's a tomato, even though you wouldn't put it in a salad yet. So in the same way, as soon as we take up this process under Srila Prabhupada, if we take it up according to his instructions, we are in pure bhakti, even though these people like me were still very sour and bitter because we're just a little green tomato. So then Ramananda Roy goes further and he says, prema bhakti. So mature bhakti, bhakti that's full of love. And he quotes a very nice verse. He says, as long as there is hunger and thirst within the stomach, varieties of food and drink make one feel very happy. Similarly, when the Lord is worshipped with pure love, the various activities performed in the course of that worship awaken transcendental bliss in the heart of the devotee. Just this morning, I was hearing Srila Prabhupada quote the famous verse from Rupa Goswami that the only price for pure devotional service is eagerness. And then he said, so you will say, this was an early class in Seattle, and I think it was in the 60s. He said, you may say, well, that's easy. I have eagerness. And he says, no, it may take many, many lifetimes to get this eagerness. And then Prabhupada said, I'm probably not getting the words exactly right because I just heard it this morning. I didn't make a note. But he said, if you have just a trace of this eagerness, even a very small portion. There's another place where Prabhupada says, if we can follow the residents of Vrindavan, even to a minute degree. That's encouraging, isn't it? I mean, we think about the love of the residents of Vrindavan, and I think, like Prabhupada once wrote about himself, crores of lifetimes. You know, I'm thinking crores of lifetimes before I can have anything like the love of the residents of Vrindavan. We're reading about the Kaliya story, right? The Acharyas say how they're crying so many tears running to the Yamuna to see Krishna that the ground becomes muddy and they're slipping in the mud of their tears. And I read that and I think, if that's where I have to be, I'm hopeless, right? I'm just hopeless. There's that nice prayer of Rupa Goswami. He said, I don't have even like a sesame seed's worth. But still, Durgata Gata Navigata, you can make the impossible possible. You can somehow give me devotion. So here is the mood. If one has even a minute degree of real eagerness, it's like when we're very hungry. And then food is very tasty. So Krishna appreciates our service and we appreciate our service. And the quote here from the Pajavali 13:14, when the Lord is worshipped with pure love, the various activities performed in the course of that worship awaken transcendental bliss in the heart of the devotee. It can be attained only by paying one price, intense greed to obtain it. If it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. If we have an opportunity to get even a tiny drop of this greed, we should not hesitate. Immediately we should go for it. And Mahaprabhu just says, that's all right. That's all right. That's all right. Now, if I were Ramananda Roy, I would have gotten very discouraged at this point. Right? I would have said, okay, I'm talking about prema bhakti. Isn't that the sadhya? Isn't, because that's what Mahaprabhu asked. What is the sadhya? What is the ultimate goal of life? And I would have said, you're too difficult of a teacher. Your standards are too high. I quit. Right? But Ramananda Roy didn't have that mentality, and he went forward. And he said, dasya prema is the sarva sadhya sada. So sadhya means a goal, sada means the ultimate, and sarva means all. Of all goals, this is the ultimate, to have dasya prema. This is a little snippet from the painting we had done for Shimana Shiksha, and this is showing Raktak and Patrak. And there's not much of a description of Patrak, but there is a description of Raktak. We have in our illustrations for this book, we tried as far as possible to follow all of the detailed descriptions given in the Shastram by our acharyas about the appearance and the dress and so forth of these personalities. So here Ramananda Roy quotes 9.5.16 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, what remains to be attained by those who have become his servants? And Mahaprabhu says, that's all right. So Ramananda Roy goes a little further. Now here we're really crossing a boundary, because most religious systems in the world are teaching some variation of varnashram. Some are going beyond and teaching do your worldly duties to satisfy God. Some are going beyond and talking about how we're a spiritual being and we should become one with God and one with the energy. Some are going beyond that and talking about loving God. And some are going beyond that and talking about having a personal relationship with the personal God in service. But not very many take this next step. Sakya prema. And here we see Sridham and Ujjvala and Subal. So not very many take this next step of being a friend. And even if they speak about friendship, the concept in Vrindavan of intimate friendship, where the cowherd boys say, you weren't holding up Govardhan Hill, we were doing. You know, it's Madhu Mangal's mantras that are allowing you to kill the demons. who are you? And they take the vegetables out of Krishna's samosas in the forest and they stick jasmine flowers in it. Like they tell Krishna, close your eyes, we'll put a sweet ball in your mouth, and they stick a flower in his mouth. So there's really practically no information in the world outside of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas that are taking love of God to this point. And here Ramananda quotes from 10, 12, 11, certain exalted personalities, after accumulating volumes of pious activities, are now playing with the Lord in friendship as cowherd boys. Whoa, Lord Chaitanya says that's uttama. That is very good. That is very good. And if we think it out in our own lives, our intimate friends, right? Our friends who can and insult us, right? Joke around with us. They treat us as equals. How satisfying it is, even if we only have a few of those friends in our life, how valuable they are. And how much the Lord appreciates this kind of love. You know, we all like it. I mean, if we're honest, we all like it when people are saying Gloria, Gloria, Gloria to us about this or that. It's not that we don't like accolades, if we're honest. But more than that, we like intimate friendship. We much more appreciate that. After the Govardhan Puja Leela, after the flood, the demigods came to worship the Lord, and they left their worship paraphernalia there, and then the cowherd boys started playing with it. Right? And Krishna was more pleased with this intimate feeling among his friends than this grandiose worship. Now, you'd think that Ramananda Roy would stop here because Mahaprabhu said very good, but instead, he became enthused. Let me go further. He said, Vatsalya Prem. The love of where one sees the Lord as their own child. We do find some Catholic saints who exhibited this sort of mood. But again, it's very rare. Generally in the world, people see God as the Father. People don't talk about having God as your son. It's maybe people talk about God as your friend, although usually they mean that formally. But God is your son. And here, Ramananda Roy quotes 10.9.20, the favor Mother Yasoda obtained from Sri Krishna, the bestower of liberation, was never obtained even by Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva, nor even by the goddess of fortune, who always remains on the chest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. So this is very, very intimate. When someone is your child, you know, you're bathing them and dressing them and feeding them in a very intimate way. For the mother, the child grows in her body and is fed from her body. And you really have the mood that you're serving your children. You know, even in this world, we think like that even when our children are adults. That I'm supposed to serve my children. I'm supposed to make my children happy. We don't go to our children and say, please give me this, please give me this, please give me this. It's completely reversed. We find in Goloka Vrindavan and in Gokula Vrindavan, the parents, they really don't see Krishna as God. They worship Narayan. And they're saying, Narayan, please protect Krishna. You know, Mother Yasoda puts on an amulet of Nrisingadev when Krishna goes out in the forest and says, you know, if you find any of those monsters, pray to Nrisingadev. And Rupa Goswami says, Krishna represses a smile, and may that repressed smile protect you all. So this mood, and of course, we may think, well, parents, we generally have one set of parents. Of course, nowadays, with so many marriages, people may have many, many sets of parents. But Krishna becomes the child of an unlimited number of parents. Now, this happened during the Brahma Vimohan Lila, when Krishna expanded himself as all the cowherd boys and the calves. so that the cows had this mood of Vatsalyabha. But in the spiritual world, there are many, many personalities who have this parental mood towards Krishna and Balaram. And Lord Chaitanya is very happy. He says, yes, that is very good. And now Ramananda Roy goes even further. And he says, Kanta Prema. To have the love that Krishna is my beloved. To have romantic love. And he quotes from 10:32:2. This is Krishna's return to Rasleela. Suddenly, due to their feelings of separation, Lord Krishna appeared among the gopis, dressed in yellow garments and wearing a flower garland. His lotus face was smiling, and he was directly attracting the mind of Cupid. Now, Ramananda Roy makes a very important point. And if we had time, we would go into this in great depth. He says, it is true that whatever relationship a particular devotee has with the Lord is the best for him. Still, when we study all the different methods from a neutral position, we can understand that there are higher and lower degrees of love. The concept that everybody is a gopi or everybody is Radharani's Manjari gopi is not supported by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We each have our own individual relationship with the Lord, and whatever our relationship is with the Lord, that is the best for us. One of the hallmarks, again, of Sahajiyaism is that it becomes a cookie-cutter thing. You know, everybody's a 12-year-old Manjari Gopi in Lalita's camp. But this is, it's not like that. We're personless. We're personless. Some of the devotees of Mahaprabhu are cowherds. Some of them are in Vatsalyabha. Some are in Dasyabha. Some devotees want to be Krishna's flower. Some devotees want to be, you know, a cow. I mean, we have our own relationships. And there's a multitude of relationships. I think it was in the Garuda Purana. I was at a devotee's house. There's a translation by Dhanavir Maharaj. And there's a description that in the Ras Lila, there's female guards. Imagine this. Female guards around the Ras Lila keeping rascals from entering. And I thought, what an unusual eternal relationship to have with Krishna. You know, there's all these amazing varieties of relationships with Krishna. There's the parrots, right, who are bringing messages back and forth, and the monkeys who talk, right? The monkeys are trained also to talk, and they're giving messages. And as one develops in one's Krishna consciousness, one starts to understand who I am. One starts to, oh, this is how I want to serve Krishna. Prabhupada talks about this a lot. That our own particular choice and our own particular taste manifests. Yes? I mean, that's true in our material life. That as we mature, one person says, I want to be a firefighter, and another person says, I want to be a lawyer. And some person says, I'm in love with this person, I want to marry them, and another person looks at them and says, you want to marry that person? What do you see in that? You know, we have our different tastes. We have our different tastes. One person likes maple syrup on pancakes, and another person likes fake maple syrup on pancakes. Why do you like maple syrup? I just heard about this yesterday. So we have our different tastes materially. On one plant, like we have these plants here on the Vyasa Sun, every flower is a little different from every other flower. Every leaf is a little different from every other leaf. Every snowflake is different. Krishna loves variety. So when we talk about gradations in rasa, one should be very, very careful and not to think of it as some kind of a material hierarchy. So in Madhya 8:86, Ramananda Roy says, as the qualities increase, so the taste also increases in each and every mellow. Therefore, the qualities found in Shantaras, Dasyaras, Sakyaras, and Vatsalyaras are all manifest in conjugal love. So this is the reason it's considered the topmost, because it contains all the qualities, not necessarily all the activities, but all the qualities of the other rasas. And then he says, Lord Krishna has made a firm promise for all time. If one renders service unto him, Krishna correspondingly gives him an equal amount of success in devotional service. This yetamam prapajante applies also to how we want to worship the Lord. Oh, now Mahaprabhu says, this is the limit. This is the limit of perfection. Now you have get there. But could you tell me something more? Then Ramananda Roy glorifies Srimati Radharani as having the topmost love for Lord Krishna. And when he says that, Lord Chaitanya says, now, that which I have come to your residence has become an object of truth in my knowledge. However, I think there may be something more ahead, and I am desiring to have it. Kindly explain the features of Krishna and Radharani and the truth of transcendental mellows. Then there's a lot of tattva. Ramananda Roy explains that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, the spiritual ever-fresh Cupid. And there's some incredible verses there about the Kama Gayatri mantra. And again, Ramananda Roy says, every devotee has their own relationship with Krishna that is best for that devotee. Says the essential part of love of Godhead is Mahabhava, represented by Srimati Radharani. Day and night, Krishna enjoys in her company. And sometimes there is separation when that attraction is increased to another ecstatic state. So this is the limit of the limit of the limit, the madness in separation. Mahaprabhu confirmed these verses, says, this is the limit of the goal of human life. Now, how can I attain that goal? Ramananda Roy said, only the gopis can appreciate these transcendental pastimes, and only from them can these pastimes be expanded. One must take shelter of the gopis of Vrindavan. He says there's an inexplicable fact about these gopis. Their happiness increases 10 million times when they serve to engage Radha and Krishna in their pastimes. This is also explained in Adi 3, this lack of selfishness on this platform of conjugal love. Krishna, please enjoy with that gopi. And Radharani also has this mood. Please enjoy with that gopi. Although the gopis, Srimati Radharani's friends, do not desire to enjoy themselves with Krishna, Radharani makes a great endeavor to induce Krishna to enjoy himself with them. Then she experiences a happiness 10 million times greater than that enjoyed through direct association. This is an absolute lack of envy. Absolute lack of envy. That I'm 10 million times happier when my lover is enjoying with somebody else. Who can understand that in this world? I mean, in this world, it's like, huh? Your lover enjoys with someone else, you go shoot them. The transcendental mellow is nourished by that mutual behavior and transcendental love of Godhead. And Krishna becomes very satisfied by this. When Krishna sees that every devotee wants the happiness for the other devotees, he says, yes, this is what pleases me. That we say, let that devotee go forward in service. Let that devotee go forward in service. Among the gopis, there's not a pinch of desire for sense gratification. They only want to please Krishna. And again, this emphasis that in his liberated stage, the devotee is attracted by a particular rasa, and then he continues to serve the Lord in that mood in this world, then eventually he attains a spiritual body to serve the Lord eternally. So the talks between Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy went on for some days. They discussed other things like who's the most famous person, what's the most painful thing, what's the best education, which we don't have time to go into that today. So we have just 2 more minutes. If anybody has any questions, well, according to my watch, 4 minutes. According to that clock, you have 2 minutes.
I enjoy the pictures. They're so exquisite.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. One of the things I really relish is putting together these artistic presentations. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun.
It brings everything to life.
Yes, yes. Well, from a pedagogical point of view, we remember things more when more of our senses are engaged. I like how you took the Radhakund presentation, you added all kinds of things to it and expanded it. It was really nice. Anyone questions, comments, additions, subtractions, chastisements?
I'm just thinking about making this presentation within a limited frame of our time.
Yeah.
And how wonderful that would be. Because now you're just going through, you know, the whole
thing.
If we had a whole day, yes, yes.
If you had the whole time, you know, how wonderful that would be.
Yes. Well, these things can expand and contract. Just like I was thinking when I was quoting the verse that Ramananda Roy gave from when Krishna returns to Ras Lila. So I have a whole presentation on that chapter of the Bhagavatam and just some verses from that chapter, 32. And I can give it as a 6-hour presentation or a 3-hour presentation or a 1-hour presentation. You know, I'm sure that it could be given as an unlimited, not by me, but I'm sure somebody could expand it unlimitedly.
Thank you.
Oh, such a pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity to speak about Ramananda Roy. And although they're not present on this earth, they're present through the books of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. You know, Prabhupada produced teachings of Lord Chaitanya in the very beginning of the Krishna consciousness movement. And then, of course, he has the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He also has the summary of Mahaprabhu's life in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we can factually associate with Ramananda Roy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through an in-depth study of these books. So I invite everyone to go to these sections of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Of course, there's many other sections dealing with Ramananda Roy besides this one. This is not the only one. And to really meditate on him and beg him that we can realize these, that this goes, you know, not just intellectually, but in the heart. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Prabhupada also published a book called the Ramananda Sampada.
Yes. Well, he did that before he came.
Before he did the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yes, and Tripurari Swami found that and published it and made it available. So.
It was actually Nrisingha Maharaj.
Oh, it was Nrisingha Maharaj. Oh, okay. So I stand corrected. So Nrisingha Maharaj made that available. Hare Krishna.